stay in prayer and wait and see what God has for us and not be in a rush?
No, absolutely not being in a rush. That's
Amen.
Haste makes waste, as the old saying goes, and God is not in a hurry. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this body of believers, this fellowship, Lord, that we are able to come and lean on, that we are able to encourage one another with your word. Oh, Father, as you have encouraged us by your word and by your spirit, I pray, Father, that we would indeed pray for one another, that we would lift one another up, that we would, Lord, just come to lean on you and you alone for our future and our hope. Lord, we know that you're going to come back for us soon. And I pray, Father, that we would all be living in that expectancy, that any moment you could be there and we could be standing in your presence. And I pray, Father, that that would go with us throughout our days, Lord, so we would keep ourselves from indulging in our flesh or indulging in anything that would be not of you. So I pray, Father, that as your word goes forth today, that we would be encouraged, that we would see you a little better than we had before, that we would come to know you better than we knew you before. Let your word have its effect in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your honor and glory. Amen. Okay, last week we were going through chapter 1, and we made a kind of a pit stop, if you will, a rest area, and decided to examine very, very lightly Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now, we could spend months, years in this particular area of Scripture, but for the sake of continuity, I will leave that to your study. But the Holy Spirit just wants to teach you. And every time I read that, I mean, it was just really tough for me to continue on to get going through, because in verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." And so we looked, we saw that being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed of Jesus is not the what we come to think about it, of shying away, but being not ashamed intellectually, that it is so simple, that you don't need a college degree, you don't have to go to seminary to learn what Jesus Christ has to say. It is the simple hearing of the Word of God. You don't really even need to read it. And it's interesting to say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't read it, but back in the day, there were a lot of people that didn't have the Scriptures. And that's what the synagogue was all about. The synagogue, they would go to the synagogue to hear the Word of God, to hear what the Word of God had to say. And as they were sitting, and even in Jesus' day, when he was in there, they gave him the book to read. He was able to read, and he read from a selected Scripture and made application. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be here. And when I say, you don't have to read it, well, you have it, so do read it, obviously. You know, but it is the hearing of it. And here's the hearing of it. As each and every one of us talk with one another and we're speaking forth the Word of God, that Word of God has its effect in each and every one of our lives. We know by the Spirit, hey, this is the Word of God. This is truth, and you're strengthened by it. Strengthened in your spirit by the Word of God. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not that you're, oh man, I just ran a marathon and I'm so tired, and you know, and you hear the Word of God and all of a sudden, oh, you've got to go. Pep and vigor again. It's not like that at all. It's the lifting up of the weary arms. Okay? I am so burdened by the things that are going on. The world is coming down on me. People are saying this, that I should be doing this, and I should be doing that, and I should be doing the other, when it is the simplicity of the gospel. You don't need to go out and hand out tracts on the street to be saved. It's not a mark of being saved. It's a mark of being manipulated, in my mind, in a lot of cases, because a lot of people don't feel comfortable with that. Street witnessing, if you're able to do that kind of thing, that's great. But, you know, I got... You know, in my early days as a Christian, I wasn't able to do that. You know, and people would go down to the beaches and stuff like that, and they would be handing out tracts, and they would be talking to folks. And there was a group of us that, man, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. I just can't walk up to somebody and start a conversation this way. I just don't have it in me to do, and that's okay. But we're made to feel like second-class citizens because we weren't a part of this group here. Oh, well, you must not be filled with the Spirit because the Spirit gives you boldness to do those things. But that's a perversion, I believe, of the Scripture. Each and every one of us has a sphere of influence. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to do. As we are comfortable with the people around us, the people at work, we're comfortable talking to those people. And as our conversation goes from worldly to godly, they start to prick these, their ears start to prick up, and they say, what is going on with this person? You used to cuss with the best of us. You used to tell the most off-color jokes, and now we're hearing different things out of your mouth. What's going on? When they see that hope that lies within you, you see, then they're going to ask, well, what is it? What is it that you have? And then you can share. And then it's not a hard thing to do. It's easy to do. It's easy to be entreated. And they, man, they suck it up. And Jesus did this to you, but they saw the evidence first before they heard the words. They saw the effect first before they heard the words. And that's a lot of the things that, and when we look at the miracles that Jesus performed, a lot of people saw the miracles and then they asked the question, what does this mean? Show us a sign. What the heck is going on here? You see, he opened it up there. The works preceded the words. And so when he talks about here, not being ashamed of the simplicity. There is no formula. It's you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And you just kind of go, wow, I'm not, you know, when you talk to intellectual people, you kind of think, well, I gotta add this and I gotta add that and it's this and this. And we start, you know, Christianity, they make these big 25-cent words, you know. And they start throwing these words, well, have you heard about this? And then that. And the other thing, well, what about this? And then, you know, well, I don't know anything about that. All I know is that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. And now I can be forgiven because it's the power of God to salvation. He's allowed to. You know, it's kind of hard for us to fathom, even put into words, that God is allowed now, through Jesus Christ, to forgive us, which he wasn't able to do before. Legally, he wasn't able to do for. And we kind of went through that last week about, you know, God that didn't bind his own hands, but he says, hey, I have to be justified. And we looked at Abraham and he says, hey, isn't the God of the whole earth going to be fair? Isn't he going to be just? The judge of the whole earth? He's got to be just. He's got to be fair. He can't just arbitrarily say, yeah, you're dead. Yeah. He couldn't do that. But it all boiled down to the faith in Jesus Christ. And so under that premise, okay, your sins are forgiven. I can forgive those things. But there are people who have this information. There are people that have the Word of God. They know the Word of God. And they have it, and it's buried in them. There is no works that go forth. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. In unrighteousness, their acts, their deeds, far outweigh the words that they speak. You see that all the time on the TV. You just watch Christian television for any length of time, or listen to Christian radio for any length of time, and you see that the unrighteousness is coming out before the words of salvation can even reach your ears, because they're talking about, oh, you know, you've got to plant that seed faith. You got to give that money, otherwise the Lord isn't going to, you know, He's not going to bless you if you're holding back on His money. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. The Lord doesn't need your money. The Lord is the cattle on a thousand hills. The whole earth is the Lord's. The Lord doesn't need your money. The Lord wants your life. He wants a relationship. That's why He went to these things. You know, the Lord is going to do with you what He wants to do, and He wants you to be yielded. And I would just as soon see people going around talking about, I was afraid to say anything about Jesus. But then, one day, I don't know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon me, and I just had this boldness to speak to this person that I was afraid to talk to. And that, in my mind, speaks more volumes than any amount of money that anybody could ever give, because I can see the Holy Spirit working in that respect. That's why the Lord says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, because we need to talk about these things. We need to confess that, you know, once I was afraid. I really was afraid to speak about Jesus Christ, but now the Spirit of God has given me boldness to speak. And I'm not holding the truth in unrighteousness anymore. I'm not allowing my unrighteous behavior to hold back that which is that needs to go forth. The Word of God needs to go forth. And that's what he's saying. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, to hold obviously means to hold. I'm holding this phone in my hand. I'm holding it. But now I'm holding it back. I'm not allowing it to go forth. I have the truth, but I'm not sharing it with you because you have to go through these steps first. You have to go through my classes first. You need to get my book because I have special revelation about God and salvation and things. And if for $49.95, if you give me your gift of $49.95, I will give you as a love offering my free book to you so that you too can know. Yeah, how stupid is that, right? You know, hopefully you're saying, oh yeah, that's what did I just walk into, and who is this guy? He needs to go back on vacation, and no. But that's what you're going to hear. The simplicity is left behind because there's no money in it. Okay, there's no money in the free gift of God. I'm not profited by these things, so I need to hold it back, and you need to do. Well, you're not doing enough, you see. If you're not financially able to do this, then you need to look inside yourself. Are you really born again? Because, you know, God has the treasure. He's not going to leave his kids to be hogwash. Each and every one of us is going through something that has been ordained of the Lord from the foundation of the world to teach us something. None of the things that we go through are vain. It's not, you know, it's not just because the Lord felt like it. It's to teach us something. Maybe it's to teach us to trust him more. Maybe it's to teach us to have more faith in him. And having faith in him is to trusting in what he has already done. Not, you know, oh, well, what more can I do? I really hate that phrase. What more can I do? Well, the only thing that I can think of that you can do more is pray. Pray. Get on your knees and go before the Lord and sit before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, not to supersede the Lord, 9 times out of 10, he's going to do the Martha and Mary thing. Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about with much serving. Take a break. Do what Mary's doing. Mary has sat at my feet and is hearing my word, and that part shall not be taken away from her. And she's ready. She's ready and listening and waiting for the command to go. She is like a handmaiden waiting on her mistress to, hey, something needs to be done. Okay, I'm on it. You know, whatever it is. But I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be learning. You know, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Now, you're not going to learn that in any college. There's no college class in there. You can go through their itinerary or whatever it is that they have, and you're not going to see on there how to be meek. It's not going to happen. They want you to be bold. They want you to be daring. They want you to strive. They want you to get out there and get all the gusto that you can. But the Lord has it the other way. He says, meek. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Okay? He was unassuming. He was not threatening at all. He was meek. He was lowly. So let's learn of that. You know, not trying to get our own way. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. Or there is a list of things that can be known of God. And he kind of brings out that. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we look, right? We look at Genesis. We see that God created the world in 6 days. But the intelligentsia will say, well, maybe not, you know. And I'm remembering from a Christian magazine, okay. There's 4 different ways that God could have done this. There's the millions of years theory, and there's this and that and the other thing. When the Lord says, He did it all in 6 days. Are you going to believe the Lord, or are you going to believe man? Okay, this is what it really boils down here. He has given you this. He says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In us, we have the information. God created in 6 days. Do you believe that? It's in the Word of God. Now, what better thing to do for the intelligent people to do than destroy the Word of God? Well, you know, Genesis, that's not really, you know, a part of the Bible. They just put that in there. Or this Isaiah here, or you know, they try to discount the Word of God. They try to destroy the Word of God. And the Psalms tells us, if the foundations be destroyed, where do the righteous stand? The foundations that we have is the Word of God. From Genesis to the Revelation, this is the Word of God. This is the only authority that we have, and there are folks out there that are part of the church world that would try to destroy that. Don't allow them to do that. Stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is your authority. The Word of God is your rock. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." So what is truth? They're holding the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. What, for the purpose of what? To whatever they can be profited by. There was, you know, if you read in the Old Testament, you see that the prophets came against those that were in authority. You know, I mean, Jesus says, "Hey, which of the prophets didn't you stone?" You know, you say that you're the son of the fathers. What prophet didn't your fathers persecute? What prophet didn't they stone? All of them. The price of being a prophet was death, kind of like it is today. The price of being a witness of Jesus Christ is death. You must die to yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to live through you. That's plain and simple. Jesus said that. Take up your cross. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. You know, that's it. It's pretty straightforward. Now, it's interesting there, he talks about the invisible things. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by those things that are made. Now, we are things that are made. And the Lord has given us intelligence to observe the physical universe. We can look at the stars in the heaven, and we can look, and with our powerful telescopes, the most powerful telescopes that we have, we can see far beyond anything that our fathers before us could ever see. And yet there is more. There's a place, and I can't remember it right offhand, but there's a place, I like to get the space picture of the day is what it is. It's the archive picture of the day from NASA, and they have different photographs from the Hubble telescope and stuff like that, and they have there was this one picture on there that was so cool, and it was kind of like a zoom shot. The night sky, and then they saw this bright little star, and they zoomed on that little star, and they zoomed on it like 10 or 15 times, and what they found was in that little star, that little cluster, there were clusters of galaxies. I mean, and to put it in perspective, it would be like me sticking a pin on the wall here and you looking at the direct center of that pin. That's where it would look like in the night sky. But when you zoom up on it, you see that there are hundreds of thousands, not just 10 or 15, hundreds of thousands of galaxies. They can't even count them all. And as you look at the picture even more, you see even fainter ones in the distance from that. This is how vast that you can see out, and you still can't see the end of it. Those things that are invisible. And then we can look with microscopes. We have powerful, powerful microscopes that we can zoom in on molecules and see the things that we are made of. You know, just different, you know, the quote-unquote things that we are made of, we can't even see with the human eye, and yet it goes farther and farther. See, God is infinite in more ways than just time past to time future. He's also infinite in his creation. And it's clearly seen and understood by his creation. But if you hold the truth in unrighteousness, one of the things that the Lord gives us as believers in Jesus Christ is a sound mind. And what a sound mind will allow you to do is understand the things of God. And who does he give the sound mind to? He gives it to his believers, who must become as little children. Okay? Not intellects. You see, intellects is going to cloud the issue. You see, when you tell a child something, they receive it. Okay? Like the Bereans, like Paul was talking about the Bereans. Hey, you receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind, but you search the Scriptures to prove whether those things be so. But when we are told about the things that God has done, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Do you believe that? That's a pretty simple truth. That's pretty simple. But it will save you years of study trying to figure out the origins of the universe. You don't even have to take that course anymore because you already know that God created it in 6 days. So I can move on now. I can move on to bigger and better things. What else you got? Okay? Biology? Okay. We already know that God's in that. It says right here, the invisible things of Him from the creation. Huh. Invisible, we can't see far enough to get to the ends of it. We can't see close enough. And anybody in here that's in the medical field can attest to those things. We haven't even scratched the surface, and yet we know that all of these things function together. The DNA genome has been discovered. There's no way has it been unraveled, no pun intended there, but the double helix. We don't have any idea. We know that there's a double helix, but we have no idea how it works. No idea. We can only speculate. And if we look ahead to verse 22, I think it kind of will say it for itself, which I haven't gotten there yet, and we'll save that to when we get there in a little bit. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But why? Why then? You see? Because they're holding the truth in unrighteousness. It all goes back to this. The simplicity of the gospel and those who would hold it back. And yes, there is a malignant enemy out there that wants you to be ignorant of the things of God. They want to cloud the issue. But as a child of God, we must rely on the Holy Spirit and on the Word of God to teach us. Because He said that. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. The Comforter shall come, and when He has come, He will lead you into all truth. Ah, there's that word truth again. What is truth? The Word of God. You see? And so, and you have no need of any man to teach you. Because the Word of God is there. When the Bereans heard the Word of God, they received it. Yes, you receive the Word with all readiness of mind, but search the Scriptures. Search the Word. Okay, yes, you want to, I want to receive the Word with all readiness of mind. Yes, I want to receive that which is good, but really, is what your slant on it, is that really what the Word of God says? Okay, and as we had said before, okay, if you understand the simplicity of the gospel, then you're not going to be dissuaded by anybody that brings in anything contrary to that. The gospel being Jesus Christ came, was crucified, died, was buried, and rose again, and now we have forgiveness of sin because of His blood, okay? Which was foretold. Now we can interpret properly what the Old Testament sacrifices were all about, okay? The Lord gave the law, gave the remedy for the law as a looking forward to, and now we see Jesus Christ as that fulfillment. So we've got the Old Testament and the New Testament joined together right now. And anything that adds to or takes away from that, we know is a lie and we will reject it. That's what a sound mind is all about. That's what the Lord gives us. He gives us that sound mind to be able to comprehend those things. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I kind of glanced over a really heavy-duty, something that really should be brought out, and I think it will be as we move along, but the things that are, the thing that says in there in verse 20 says, so that they are without excuse. A lot of people will, I didn't know. I didn't know the speed limit was 35 on this road as I was doing 70. I didn't know that. Well, now you know. Why do you know that? Because the law tells you so. Okay? So we should not be neglecting the law. The law will tell us those things that are good. The law is good. The law is holy. The law tells us right from wrong. So we should not be neglecting it. Not at all. We should be embracing it. We should be looking at it. Now, can we keep the law? Is there anybody in here that thinks for 1 second that we can keep the law? No. The purpose of the law is to show us our sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do we really need to be told that? Heck no. All we have to do is read the law. Man, I fail. Yeah, fail. You know. And then he makes a proviso in there that says that to the unknown sin. You know, if you've sinned something that you didn't even know that you've sinned. In other words, you're coming to grips with what God's view of you is. And that you're a sinner. All of you. You're all sinners. There is none righteous. No, not one. Are you in that group? Or are you the exception to that rule? Has the enemy put something in your mind and said, well, you know, that applies to those people. But you see, I've studied. You know, I read the Word of God, and in me, well, I've got to confess that in me dwells no good thing, okay? No good thing whatsoever. I am a sinner, and so all of it applies to me. So why read that? It's a downer, man. It really is a downer. Because it is the Word of God, okay? Lest you be puffed up, lest you profess yourself to be wise, you will become a fool. Because they glorified him not as God. In our scripture reading today, God told Moses that if anything touches the mount, they is to be thrust through with a dart. They is to be either be stoned or thrust through. It is to be killed. You're not to come to the mount. Because to come before God, you need to be sinless. Moses was beckoned to come up to the mount, and he was protected by God because he got God's holy law. And he was protected. And when he went back down, he gave the law to them. And he gave them the provision for their sin. And he says, everything that the Lord says to do, we will do. Now, that's very profound. That means that when we see that we have sinned, we're going to do this. We're going to make the sacrifice, you see. And so now we have Jesus Christ, who is our sacrifice. He has done these things already for us. And if we come before the Lord, 1 John 1:9 tells us, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful and just. We just passed over the word that we were reading about here. Just. He's justified. He's justified. He's able to forgive us. And he's quick to do so. As soon as we say it out of our lips, we're done. It's on. It's done. It's over. Okay, you're forgiven. You know, and that's the quickness of it. But they glorified him not as God. In other words, they didn't seek forgiveness. Think about that. Those that have the Word of God, that have been told the Word of God, that have been instructed in the Word of God, they're not asking for forgiveness. They're just going along their merry way. Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to take stock in it because I know that the Lord has forgiven me. Okay, He's already forgiven me, but that's not what the Word of God says. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, that's an ongoing process. As we go day by day, as these thoughts arise in our hearts, and as we act on those things that we're thinking, that's sin. And it needs to be dealt with. And it's because of the Word of God that we know that this needs to be dealt with. This is festering in my life. I have not confessed this as sin, and therefore it is taking over me. And now I'm professing myself to be wise. And I am an instructor of babes. I am an instructor of those who aren't as enlightened as myself. When the Lord says, you know, I am your Lord and Master, and yet I come as one who serves. The true heart of someone who is born again is that they want to come alongside and encourage those who are weak. They seek out those who are young, that are weaker, that are struggling, to lift them up. They seek those out. That's what the marks of a believer is all about. Neither were thankful. If you're not confessing your sin, why would you be thankful? You see? It goes hand in hand. As we confess our sins, we are thankful that the Lord is able to forgive us. We are thankful that the Lord is willing to forgive us. You see, it gives us a thankful heart. And I get blessed at our dinner table. You know, when Cindy makes a meal, she sets it down there no matter what it is, whether it's a juicy steak dinner or a nice, you know, turkey dinner with all the stuffings and all the things, or if it's just hamburgers and, you know, even if we have to fend for, well, not if they have to fend for themselves, but, you know, whatever it is, the kids always say thank you. And that always blesses my heart. You know, it's just in their heart to thank them. Now, we never did that when we were kids. We never thanked my mom for that. But I'm just amazed, yeah, you guys, that they do. They say thank you. And it's just kind of like, wow, that's cool. That I love that. And that must please the heart of God when we say thank you, Lord, for forgiving me again, for this sin again, that I've sinned again. When I've confessed it 5 minutes ago and you forgave me about that same sin then. And it brings new life to how many times shall I forgive my brother? Even seven times? Seven times would be great. That would ease our conscience just a little bit, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, I mean, seven times for the same sin. But God says 70 times seven for the same offense. Blows you away. You mean I can get angry? And I can be angry, but the Bible says be angry and sin not. But when I'm angry, I sin. I'm sorry, I tell you. You know, I'm sorry if that, you know, if that shocks you, you know, especially on the freeways, okay, or driving in traffic. If that offends you, I'm really sorry. And but nevertheless, I can go at that time and say, Lord, forgive me. And he'll say, yeah, no problem. And then 2 seconds later, when that same person cuts me off again, and I, in my heart, say things. Oh, Lord. Lord, we're just about to pull into the driveway of the church. Why did you allow this person to do this? To keep you humble. To keep you meek. To keep you lowly. You're not feeling so full of yourself now, are you? You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, fine. All right, it's going to be a great service this time, you know. But it's the Lord that's doing it. It's the Lord. If you're getting anything at all out of it, it's the Holy Spirit that's taking His Word and applying it to yourself. It isn't me. It isn't the speaker. It's the Word of God. You know, and there's going to come a time, the Scripture tells us, that there's going to be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Okay? And in more ways than, you know, just one, I'm sure, because of all of the different translations that are coming out these days. It's just, I'm amazed at what passes as Scripture these days. But nevertheless, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They didn't want to give glory to God because they wanted the glory for themselves. They worshipped the creature. Oh, the Bible says this, but you know what? Again, you're kind of, you know, you're not enlightened, so let me break it down for you. And if you buy my book, that book that I was telling you about earlier, the $49.95 book, if you just buy that book and read that book, don't read the Bible, but read this other book, you see. They're trying to take the glory of the incorruptible God and make you worship a corruptible man. Well, my commentary says this. Oh, really? And is that infallible as the Word of God? Oh, no. You know, and you know, commentaries are good for their purpose, but don't allow it to become your Holy Spirit. Okay? Your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within you, is going to bring out the truth of His Word because He gave it. He understands it, and He can apply it to you in every single circumstance. And so they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You know, we've got our celebrity pastors today. We've got our celebrity preachers and evangelists and people flock to their fellowships and by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. And they fill auditoriums to hear them speak. Great flowing words. But is it the truth of God? Are they following the Word of God or are they following a person? Do you have your favorites that you like to hear every now and again? Yes, there's some favorite pastors that I like to hear every now and again. I don't listen to everybody. You can't. You can't listen to everybody. But you still have to take what they say and measure it against the Word of God. It doesn't matter. You know, everybody can misspeak. I mean, everybody can, you know, maybe go off on a tangent and bring something into a message that's, you know, wait a minute, that's a little off balance there. And I think the Holy Spirit does that once in a while to keep you on your toes and say, wait a minute, this guy said that, wait a minute, the Word of God says this, and it's up to you guys to help me out. If I say something that's not right, then let's hear about it. Bring your Bible and says, well, you know what, you said this about that. Did I? I'll have to repent from that real quick, because I know I'm not infallible. I know I will misspeak. But it'll keep you guys sharp. It'll keep you guys on your toes. It'll keep you guys in the Word. And that's what I like to see. And that's the fruit of what I like to see up here, is a fellowship in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. Because the Word of God is good for reproof, for rebuke, for encouragement, for instruction in godliness. And that's what we all strive for, okay? How am I doing on time? Oh, I got a couple more minutes. Now, we're going to see a series of things now. The Lord has given them the Word. The Lord gives us the Word. We can see we can see out there the power of God. We can see, you know, we see the design of man. We see an automobile out there rusting in the parking lot. But we see this world, how it is, you know, you cut down a tree and another one will grow. You cut the grass and it grows again. The things that are alive in the world. You go out and you get rid of all of the squirrels in the yard, and next day there are ten times that many coming back again. You know, I know I tried, you know, to get rid of them nasty, pesky squirrels. But you see, life is all a part of what God is about. He brings life abundantly in the seas. I saw a thing on Nova the other day, and I love to do this because it's my favorite creature in all of creation, okay? It's my favorite, and that's the cephalopod. Have you ever saw the cephalopod? Okay, you know what a cephalopod is? Oh, you got to watch this thing. It's great. It can change shape. It can change color. It's a creature that lives in the sea. It's related to the snail, and it's probably that big around, about maybe a foot, 18 inches long, and it's got little tentacles out there. And it is amazing. I watched this thing for 5 minutes and my mouth just dropped open. I said, I cannot believe this. This is a creature that lives on our planet and we haven't any idea on how this thing does it. But it changes shape. It changes color instantly. I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. It's the greatest chameleon on the planet. And I look at that and I see God of wonders. The God of all creation, He makes this thing, but then somebody, you know, on this program will come up and say, this thing evolved into this thing. Really? It evolved? I mean, give me a scenario. Come on, help me out here. I'm having a little problem with that, okay? But I can look at it and say, look at God's creation. Okay, and if you look up cephalopod on YouTube and you just be, you, wow. I mean, it's just, wow, it's great. Anyway, so their foolish heart was darkened. I was wondering, where am I going with that? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so we see the downhill slide here. And next week, as we go to look at this, it's the very saddest thing that you could possibly imagine. The Lord of glory, the God, the creator of all of the universe, gives us His Word. And we pervert it. And we corrupt it. And we hold it unto ourselves as a tool for getting gain. For getting profit. Okay? Holding it back from people who desperately need it. Rather than doing what the Lord has done. Freely giving. Okay? That's what the Lord says. He, freely you have received. You have received this freely. So freely give it away. That's all he asks us to do. Freely you have received, so freely give. Okay? But God will give them up. Just like he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he confirmed them, confirmed Pharaoh in his decisions. He also confirms those who would do this. And we can see in our church world today, and I don't talk about the outside world here, okay? None of this is going to the outside world. This is in the church, folks. This is the church. This is Paul's prediction for the church age in which we now live, okay? And you look at this and say, well, yeah, that's pretty true on the outside, until you start to look at the church, you know, and that's why I use the term church proper, if you will. Of those on the outside who look at what churchianity is, this is what they see. But God is giving you a view of what's going on inside their hearts and minds. Okay, the reasons why. They changed the uncorruptible God into a lie. And now you worship the church. Oh, well, you can't understand the word of God. Why don't you go to your elder or your pastor or your priest or whatever it is, and he'll inform you of the proper way of what you should believe, rather than pointing people to the word of God, the uncorruptible God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We do thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that teaches us, and that we don't have to rely upon others. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the uncorruptibleness of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that leads us and guides us. And we thank you, Lord, for your infinite patience with us as we come before you for forgiveness and thanksgiving and praise and for all of those things that you desire to have, that fellowship. So, Father, I pray that as we go forth today, Lord, that we would be thankful in our hearts for all that you have given us and for all that you continue to do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.